Hi, welcome to James Miller Lifeology, where you'll learn to simplify and transform your spirit, mind, and body. My name is James Miller. I'm a licensed psychotherapist and a composer. Thank you so much for joining me today in this podcast. Let's get started. Today's episode is brought to you by Audible.com. Get your free audiobook and a free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/James Miller Lifeology. I have a great show for you today. I'll be teaching you ways to analyze your core beliefs. I'll also be interviewing Brenda Michaels, who shares her inspirational story of how she changed her core beliefs as she battled and eventually overcame cancer. You all know me as a psychotherapist, but many of you do not know me as a composer. My first album, Consolation, was written specifically for people who are experiencing grief and loss. I like to think of this album like a book. Each original composition is written like a chapter in a book. And just like in any story, it goes from the loss that one experiences and eventually helps people find the hope for their future. You may purchase this album on iTunes or through any other digital music store. Be sure to download the digital booklet that comes along with it. The name of the album is Consolation, and my stage name is James S. Miller. The name of the piece you are currently hearing is entitled Temptation. Long ago, there was a battle about to take place. One of the generals was talking about tactics with his team of officers. An officer interrupted him and explained that he thought that the strategy was a waste of time. "The gods have already decided who will win," he proclaimed. "Are you suggesting that fate has decided the result in advance?" the general asked. "Yes, I am," the officer responded. The general took a coin out of his pocket and said, "So if I toss this coin in the air and it comes up heads, we win, but if it's tails, we lose. Is that how fate works?" "Pretty much," said the officer. The general tossed the coin in the air and it came up heads. "See, the gods have decided. We can't lose now." They went to their troops with the good news, and the soldiers marched into battle with renewed enthusiasm. After a glorious victory, the officers met in the general's tent to celebrate. "Do you believe in fate now?" the general was asked. The leader smiled, reached into his pocket, and pulled out the coin to show to the others. It was heads on both sides. "No, I don't believe in fate, just the value of self-belief. When the soldiers thought that we couldn't lose, I knew that we wouldn't lose." Sometimes we think that the script has been written and that success is for a chosen few. But it's for all who believe they're going to be successful. Analyzing your core belief. Many people don't realize, but when we're children, our environment determines how we're going to act as adults. The way people treat us, the way we internalize situations to be, is going to be the template that we use when we're adults. We may have the best childhood when it comes to the way our family treated us, but if we perceived ourselves to be less than, perhaps at school or with our friends, or maybe even being bullied, that is going to cause our worldview to be tainted. So when you're an adult, you may find yourself in relationships where your self-worth is always in question. You always question your value when you're with your friends, perhaps in a relationship, when you're at work. And so every little thing that happens in our life is really based on how we view the world as children. Look at some situations in your life now. If you find that there's potentially a pattern in how you react to people, well, that's really the way your core belief is demonstrating itself as an adult. One thing I really like to tell people to do is, if you make a mistake, what are the thoughts that go through your head? If your thoughts are, "I can't believe I did that," or "You're so stupid," or "What is wrong with you?" Those particular thoughts are really the adult version of what we perceived when we were children. And that's why I really like my clients to stop and think about that. How do they respond to themselves when they do make a mistake? Because that is really what your core belief is. Another thing to look at is, let's say you're in a relationship and you find that you're continually taken advantage of, or that people may cheat on you, or you may be in a relationship where someone has these unrealistic expectations, but for some reason, you continually seek those relationships out. And what that really is that's replaying a core belief that you have about yourself to continually set yourself up to fail. Perhaps another thing is you find yourself continually arguing with people. You're always having to be right. A lot of that has to do with your perception of needing to prove yourself to the people around you. And that's usually because the way we internalized our value as a child was that we didn't have much value. So now, as an adult, we overcompensate and we do our best to prove ourselves right, or to prove that we know many more things than perhaps the people around us. Sometimes those core beliefs can actually be really good. We can be very proud of ourselves. Our self-talk can be very healthy, can be supportive, can be encouraging, and that is absolutely wonderful. The way it works in psychology is essentially this. Whatever our belief about a situation, and that is usually the core beliefs we have, determine the thoughts that we're going to have. Those thoughts then affect our emotions. Our emotions then in turn tell our body what to do. Have you ever heard of the old analogy that states a house that is built on sand is going to fall versus a house that's built on a strong foundation is going to stand? And that's the same type of thing. The core belief that we have, if it is somewhat negative, then the foundation of our thoughts and the foundation of our emotions and our reactions are going to be faulty. You'll find that you may overreact to certain things, or you may not be able to perhaps maintain certain relationships because the core belief that you have, in other words, a foundation of who you are, is, if you will, faulty. So it's important to see how we analyze the world around us. Your perception of yourself and how you fit in the world as an adult is going to determine how successful you are. Last week, we talked about how to live a serendipitous life, and I explained to you how to listen to your gut instinct or the part of you that's your spirit. In other words, we are spirit, mind, and body. The spirit is that part of us that connects to the divine, and I don't mean that in a religious way, but the part of us that gives us the intuition, that gives us the ability to find hope and encouragement when it seems like the situation is so dire. Our mind is a part of us that's our logic, that gives us reasoning, and then our body is a corporal version of us that actualizes everything, that does everything. But if our core belief gets in the way, well, then it's going to affect our spirit. And so let's say that you are struggling to find hope in a dire situation. Well, a lot of that has to do because your core belief has potentially told you that you're not worth having hope. You're not worth being with someone who treats you well. You are not worthy of being happy. And so when we're trying to connect with the divine, or we're trying to listen to that gut instinct, it's going to be very difficult because our core belief is going to tell us that there is potentially something wrong with us. And so it's really hard for us to sometimes overcome certain situations because our core belief has told us so many things. It's really important for us to kind of identify what the core belief is. Like I said, we all have a version of a core belief, but when we can look at the common theme of how we act around people or the thoughts that go through our head when certain people treat us a certain way, that's going to determine our value system, our worth. Many times my clients will ask me, well, James, well, how do I change my core belief? One of the things I typically have them do is to write down who they are. And what I mean by that is you strip away all the external accolades. For example, your job. You strip away your job title. You strip away your role in your family system. In other words, instead of being a parent, you are a person. And so the goal is to strip away all the outer layers of who we are until we basically get down to who we truly are. So in other words, James the person, when I strip everything away, he's not the psychotherapist. He's not the musician. He's not the sibling. He's not the friend. And so when I continually go deeper and deeper, I figure out who I am. And sometimes people may find out that they are a broken person. They are a sad person. They are a lonely person. They are someone who may not deserve love. And so when you continually strip down and try and go to the lowest part of who you are, that is when you're going to recognize what your core belief is. So if you can kind of think in your head is how do you strip these things away? And when you remove the different labels that life has given you, you'll really get down to the core perception of who you are. So I'd really challenge you to do that. So if I were to ask you, who are you? And then whatever you tell me, what labels the world has put on you, you could probably go deeper and go below that external surface. And so the deeper you go as far as the identity that you've given yourself, you'll find that the emotions become more basic. They become more primitive. In other words, more childlike. And then you'll finally get down to who you really are. Because remember that the childhood template that we create for ourselves determines our core belief. And if you're struggling with understanding this particular component, then go back to what are the usual interactions you have with people? If you find that you have a continual contentious relationship, either with a friend or with someone you're dating, figure out what that is. What happens in you? What's the commonality there? Do you find that you feel less than? Do you find that you're always combative with them? Those particular things are evidence which kind of lead you towards what your core belief is. And another thing to consider is when you're trying to overcome a situation, figure out what doubt kind of plays in your mind. In other words, if you're believing for something good to happen in your life, but you continually hear something that says, nothing good ever happens to me, or I never succeed here, or life always throws me a curveball, well, that in itself is another version of your core belief. So if you continually feel these things over and over, that is really good evidence to say, this is essentially what my core belief is. That can even be when you're praying, when you're trying to connect with whomever your higher power is. If you feel that your higher power is so distant or punishing you or doing something that feels negative towards you, well, once again, that's your core belief that you've projected onto your higher power. So the whole point of this lesson is to really help you analyze who you are when you strip everything away. Your core belief is going to determine how you interact with the world around you, how successful you become, how you're able to overcome certain situations. Many of us don't even realize how powerful our core belief is, how much it permeates who we are. And we continually strive to become a better person, but we find that there's these blind spots that keep stopping us. And this is potentially the reason, is because the person you want to be, if you don't identify your core belief and change that core belief, you more than likely will not be able to become that person you want to be, because your foundation is going to be limited. It's not going to be sound. So that's why it's vital that you're aware of what your core belief is. And if it's something you're proud of, if it's something that you think is going to serve you, then you build off of that. You become that stronger person. But if you find that your core belief is perhaps faulty, then it's going to permeate every single situation you're in, and it's going to be more of a hindrance than it is going to be something that helps you. No one can do this for you. This is something you have to practice on your own. You have a choice to be the person you want to be. However the world taught you your worth and your value as you grew up does not have to be that way today. You are a beautiful, wonderful, amazing person, but you have to believe it. And it all starts in your core belief. And now a quick word from my sponsor. For you, my listener, Audible.com is offering a free audiobook and a free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/James Miller Lifeology. Many of you don't know this about me, but I'm an avid reader. So this is a great opportunity for me to be able to download any book I'd like to read, specifically if I'm walking my dog at the gym or even driving. So for you to get your free audiobook, go to www.audibletrial.com/James Miller Lifeology. They have over 185,000 books for you to choose from, so I'm pretty confident you'll find the book you're looking for. So check it out today. I have the pleasure of introducing Brenda Michaels, who's an inspiring, insightful, and passionate communicator. Through her work as a syndicated talk show host on her 5-time weekly Conscious Talk Radio and the Women's Hour, as a public speaker, a workshop leader, the author of several articles on women's health issues, an animal activist, a spiritual and emotional coach, and a member of the advisory board for the Emerald Heart Cancer Foundation. Brenda's leadership in raising consciousness is a true demonstration of her commitment to living on our planet as a conscious human being. Brenda's amazing journey was recently featured on the Today Show on Kathy Lee and Hoda's monthly Everyone Has a Story segment. Welcome to my show, Brenda.
Thank you, James. It's really a pleasure to be here with you.
Likewise. You had an inspirational story that I really can't wait for you to tell my listeners about.
Yeah, well, it was quite a journey. It started when I was at the age of 26 with cervical cancer. And was diagnosed at that time, and it resulted in a hysterectomy. They felt they got clean margins. They sent me home, and I sort of went on with my life. And just to kind of set the stage, I was in a very unhappy marriage. I was in a job that I was miserable at.
Oh, gosh.
My life was upside down, so there was a lot of chronic stress in my life at the time. And, you know, if I would have known then what I know now, I would have realized that chronic stress led to, you know, my immune system being compromised, and it made me available for something to come in, and it was cancer at that level. And so when I got sent home and didn't know any better, I went on with my life the way it had been, under all that same stress. And 13 years later, I was diagnosed with cancer in my left breast, and
oh my
it was misdiagnosed for nearly 2 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Before we got to the root of it. And when we did, I lost my breast. Thank God the tumor had, you know, it was a contained tumor, so it hadn't spread to my lymph nodes.
Oh, good.
But the doctors still, you know, urged me to do a treatment, whether it was chemotherapy. They were urging me to do that, and I just felt like that wasn't right for me at that time, and I said no. Mm-hmm. And I went on with my life again, not waking up, not understanding what was really at the bottom of my illness, not even aware that there was something that I might be contributing to this. And a year after my left breast was taken, they found cancer in my right breast and down into my lymph nodes.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's when they told me without chemo, I'd have about a year to live.
Well, how was it for you? Because the first time they told you that they recommended chemo and then you said no, and then you hear this again and they say you only have a year left to live. I mean, what was going through your mind at that time? I mean, I can't even imagine what that would feel like.
Well, the first time it was just a suggestion, and the doctor, my oncologist or my surgeon, I should say, didn't press me. But the second time when I lost my right breast and it had moved through my lymph nodes, my doctor was adamant. This time he said without chemo, without doing any chemotherapy treatments, within a year he felt that it would metastasize and spread, which means it would spread throughout my system, and there'd be nothing they could do for me. But he said if I was willing to do chemo, they might be able to give me at least 5 years, maybe more. And that was the decision that I was faced with.
I mean, there's obviously no great outcome with that. I mean, obviously, it's terminal either way. How did you come up with your decision?
Well, it's very interesting because when I was in the examining room for my second breast, I began to pray a lot. And that prayer led me to almost an aha moment for myself. And I just realized that maybe I had something to do with this and that maybe something could be done other than what was being offered to me. And it was just sort of that fleeting thought that comes through, but something about it felt right.
And so,
and that was really my first real spiritual connection. I mean, I went to church when I was young, and I used to pray, and I believed in Jesus and all of that because I was raised in a Christian family, but I had not been really grounded in that dogma of Christianity. Didn't feel right for me. So I hadn't been a part of that for many, many years, but prayer had been something I'd used off and on, but not to the degree that I was using it now because my life was at stake.
Sure. You had no preamble. You simply went there with a broken, crushed spirit and just were able to pray. And thankfully, you heard something. Thankfully, it was answered.
And I think I went there with more of an open heart for a change, too, which helped to hear something. And that little fleeting thought, which really felt more like a little fleeting voice inside of me, was the voice that I began to hear throughout my recovery. I really paid attention to that. I really followed that, whether you call it divine intuition, divine intelligence, divine connection, it doesn't matter. Sure. It showed up for me, which was a huge blessing in my life, and it really was a guide for me throughout the rest of the process.
Well, one thing I'd like to ask you is I actually taught a class called Spirit, Mind, Body, The Perfect Triad, and it's on my website. But what I really go through is I help people understand, you know, the different ways that we actually think, the different ways that our body kind of connects to the divine or just kind of processes things in general. So when you say you heard this voice, can you describe what that means so that my listeners who may have never had maybe a spiritual awakening or spiritual connection, how that was specifically for you?
Yeah, it was very interesting. It's like it was inside of me, and at first I wasn't sure if it was coming from inside of me or outside of me.
Sure.
But I heard it nonetheless. For me, it was audible.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, it was an audible, and you know, it wasn't a feeling. It was, I could hear that guidance. And I've been able to hear that guidance ever since. And that's because I'm a very, you know, audible person. When I work with my clients, I can tell usually almost their level of vitality and health by really tuning into their voice. So I have something there that helps me to tune in that
way. It's a gift that you have, of course.
Yeah.
So you went ahead and prayed, and then what happened after that?
Well, I was, you know, I didn't know that there were any alternatives to healing this cancer. I only knew and really felt that the chemotherapy, and it was interesting when I brought up the word chemotherapy or I thought about it, I also had a very visceral feeling within me. I had like a fist clenching in my gut.
Yes.
And to me, that didn't feel like something that was going to work for me.
It was
really,
a Bible option.
Really felt, Yeah, it just didn't seem viable to me. And I want to be sure your listeners understand this was a personal choice for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the first time I'd ever followed like signals from my body or listened to a voice. This was brand new to me, but I was desperate. And on some level, I felt this was the right thing for me to do.
Yeah.
And so I went with that. And even though I went with that feeling and that kind of knowing, if you will, from that voice, I still didn't know what else to do. I didn't know what direction to move in. I did, because I didn't have any experience in that. So I prayed for help. I asked for guidance. And, you know, suddenly guidance began to appear. And it didn't come always as the voice. Sometimes that guidance was outside of me. And here's what I mean by that, James, is when we pray for guidance, we need to be open to various possibilities and how that can come to us. It might come through a book. It may come through a friend's message to you. It might be a song you heard or a line in a song. It could show up on a billboard. However it comes, it can come to you if you're open.
And
I was very open and receptive.
Yes, definitely. And I think that's one of the things that many people really struggle with is they kind of put that in a box. Like, I can only get this answer this specific way. And so they're constantly looking for that. That closed mind or that their senses or whatever are closed. They don't see all of the signs that are just literally in front of them.
Sometimes feeling really raw is it can very much serve a person, because I was raw. So I was open. I was afraid, but I was open because my feelings were so raw. I was so out there. I was so available for something to come to me that could assist me.
Well, you were searching in a way you never had before.
Absolutely. And I really want your listeners to understand that no matter what it is, the it can be suddenly you've had a bankruptcy, or maybe you lost a loved one suddenly without any warning. I mean, those things that hit us out of the blue, if we can remain open to answers coming and ask heartfully and prayerfully for those answers, they can come to us.
Yes. What would be one of the things you tell my listeners as far as how to be open? I mean, we all have a concept of how our prayers would be answered, but were there specific things that you did to make sure you stayed open besides being raw? And how did you look for that? How did you notice those things around you?
I stayed aware. I became very aware and, you know, or mindful if that's what you want to call it.
Sure.
I was paying attention all of a sudden to words and things and people and sentences and messages and gifts, things that I'd never given that much attention to. Suddenly, I was paying attention. And it's really interesting, James, when you really pay attention, when you really walk with awareness, what comes to you? Because so much of it we're closed down to. I had a mentor tell me one time, it's like we have a spigot above our head, and that spigot is a flow from God or heaven or the universe, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have that spigot open, that information, the wisdom, what we need flows naturally to us. But most people walk around with their spigot on drip.
That's a good analogy.
Great analogy. And I really got it. I really feel I had my spigot wide open. Again, the desperation I was feeling was, and even though the fear that I was feeling, I was still moving in a direction for answers and solutions. I wasn't huddled in a corner feeling paralyzed and helpless. And there's nothing wrong with that, but that isn't where those answers are going to be for you.
Sure, sure. It has to be a proactive movement. We have to do something with that. You know, we'll look for answers, but we only find the answers when we do what it is we're supposed to do.
Absolutely. I tell my clients, knowledge is power, but only when it's acted upon.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because you can have all the knowledge in the world, but if you don't take action, put it into action into your life, then how can it serve you or anyone else?
That's a very good point. Yes. So now you were searching for all this, and many things were coming up in your life and many different answers. And then how were you able to take those answers and move to the next journey of your healing?
Well, one of the things that I did that I really encourage my clients or anyone to do is I began, and again, this came as that little voice, to write a vision statement of what I really, truly wanted to experience. Not what I wanted, period. What did I want to experience? Which is a really fine point on it, because what you want can be general, but what do you want to experience incorporates really how do you feel about what you want to experience. Because we know, and I've been taught this, thoughts are electrical. We get an electrical impulse from a thought. Mm-hmm. It goes through the system and it recruits an emotion, which is magnetic, and the emotion mm-hmm. draws the experience to you. Mm-hmm. And so I needed to have this experience. And how did I want to feel through this experience? Well, number one, what I really, really wanted, James, more than anything in my life, even more than my acting career, which was a big shocker to me because I was in LA desiring to be an actress more than anything. But suddenly mm-hmm. what I wanted more was I wanted to experience a level of health and vitality and love and beauty in my life that I'd never experienced before.
Wow.
So I began writing about that and writing about how I wanted to feel in that. What did that experience look like, and how was I feeling in that experience?
Good. That's exactly what I was going to ask you. How would you quantify each of those things? Because we've all experienced this before, but, or certain elements like that. But when we say, well, I want to experience something greater, you know, we have to create yeah. that baseline of this is the maximum emotion, per se, that I've experienced in my past. And now I want to supersede that and experience it in a mm-hmm. way that I never have before. So it's so good that you were able to be thoughtful and mindful and to be able to quantify that and write that out in a way that pinpointed the experience that you wanted.
Yes, and I wrote it every day, and I refined it as I wrote it, which was very interesting. I just wrote it every day because every time I wrote about it, I felt so good. Mm. And I refined it to include later on to love myself deeply, to love humanity and all that is deeply. You know, I refined it and included things. And how did that make me feel? What would my life look like? Well, you're living really in a lot of abundance if you're living that kind of life.
Mm-hmm.
And you're thriving in that kind of life. Those thoughts, those feelings are so uplifting and life-affirming to the body
yes.
that what you're really doing is you're helping your body to heal.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I did was I looked at my beliefs. I started to look at what did I really believe in my life? What were the beliefs that led me to cancer? And boy, did I have some doozies. I mean, some very negative underlying beliefs that on a conscious level I wasn't even aware of.
Your core beliefs.
And I really had to sit with those and look at them and see how those had served me up to this point in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And did they serve me any longer? And could I transmute or transform those beliefs into beliefs that were much more life-affirming, uplifting,
yes.
heart-centered, so that those new beliefs could now guide my life? Because we really live and die by our beliefs,
mm-hmm.
whether we're aware of them or not.
And that's one of the things, you know, when we're young children, we create a template for our life. And so the core beliefs that are instilled in us, either through our surroundings or how we internalize our place in the world, really determines what our core beliefs are going to be when we act out as an adult. And that's one of the things that I really help my patients or my clients work on, is the reframing of one's core belief to really challenge that. How much of this is true? How much of this is just right. my perception? What is the evidence which proves or disproves the core belief that I have? And that's one of the real deep works that I do with my clients, because it's so important, because it permeates our life. It permeates our thoughts. It permeates our being to such a degree that that's all we see, is whatever our belief mm-hmm. is with that perception.
Absolutely. I believe we first have the beliefs. The beliefs actually influence the thoughts we have. The thoughts, again, recruit the emotions, and uh-huh. there you go. And then the mind begins to build a story around all of it.
Sure.
Once you build that story, it's your story until you change it.
And I think mm-hmm. that's one of the things where people really struggle, is they don't realize they can change it. So many times we go through life just existing and not really living. We're not thriving. However we perceive the world to be, then that's how we're always going to act. But when people have that epiphany or that awareness, they think, oh my gosh, what I've believed for so long, is it possible that that's not true? And when you can instill
yeah.
that questioning or that ability to really reframe your situation, all of a sudden you can see the joy and the abundance and the benevolence in people's lives completely change and transform them to such an amazing way.
You know, I didn't realize, James, how stressful my beliefs were. And my body was feeling all this. Whether I was aware of it or not, those beliefs created a lot of stress.
Mm-hmm. You know, one thing I really like to teach my clients is what's called natural killer cells. You'll often find people who have a higher level of benevolence, higher level of happiness and joy, are able to create more natural killer cells, which kill off any type of cancerous or any type of cells that are that have maybe have tumors, et cetera. And it's so interesting because when you look at the lifestyle of many of these people who've lived for so long, we find that many of them laugh a lot. Their outlook on life was completely different. It doesn't mean that their lifestyle per se was totally different, but their belief system based on their perception and all the joy they experienced produced many more natural killer cells than people who didn't have that type of joy in their life. And when our body automatically creates that, then all of a sudden, all those potentials for any type of tumorous cells or any type of problem in our body are all of a sudden start to kill those things off. And so that's how we can live a more successful, more long, more happy life by having a perception change.
Absolutely. You know, it's I feel it is so key. And another thing I feel is key that I found out for myself is that we live in such a fight or flight society, and not so much flight anymore as the fighting. We seem to be at war with everything. And when I looked back in my life based on my core beliefs, based on the patterns that I had developed, you know, when I was young through those beliefs, I was constantly at war with something. And mostly, I was at war with what is. And I've learned that most people are, that we're always wanting the moment to be different than what it is, that we're not sitting in that place of peace with what is, especially if it's something challenging. The minute something challenging comes into our life, the automatic response is to resist it and then to defend yourself against it. And this creates tremendous amount of stress hormones in our body. And we're doing this daily to ourselves. So one of the things that I learned in my recovery, and it was one of the most challenging things that I had to learn and practice and practice and practice, and I still practice today, is accepting what is. Realizing I don't have to like what is, but if I can bring myself to peace with it, then I have an insurmountable amount of energy to mount, to place in a more uplifting place in my life or a forward movement in my life. Instead of leaking all of my energy to being not happy with what is and being in that resistant defensive posture.
I think that's a wonderful way to reframe that. One of the things that we teach in psychology is called radical acceptance. You radically accept the situation as it is. Doesn't mean you agree with it, but you take the facts as they are. These are the facts. My emotions and how much I want to change doesn't change it. And so when you decouple the emotional experience from the fact itself, gives you the ability to say, okay, well, this is how the situation is. What do I do with it? It doesn't matter if I stay in my past because I'm so upset about that. My mind and my emotions may look at it from the past, but I live in the present. So what do I do with my present? And it's that decoupling component of your emotions from the event, which is going to help someone then say, well, then what am I going to do about this? How do I live that proactive life that we talked about earlier?
And one of the things I did was look at my need to be right around all that. My ego had this amazing need to be right, that I was being wronged or that I was being victimized or the world wasn't doing what I thought it should. Those type of things. Those are great examples. And there was a great need to be right about that. When I was finally able to bring that piece of me to peace, that it wasn't important that I was right. In fact, it was so not important. What was important that I was at peace and that it brought me what I really, truly wanted.
Wow.
And so I worked on that. And if I was a master at all this, I don't think I'd be here. We're, you know, we're all learning. We're all learning to master these things. That's why I tell my clients, if you don't practice, you're not going to get the results that you're looking for. I don't care how many times you spell it out. If you don't practice it and be willing to be in the process of it, embrace and love the process of the practice, you're not going to get where you want to go.
Because there's a lesson in everything we do. There's always, instead of why is this happening, it is happening. What am I learning about myself? Is it something I like? Is it something I want to change? And so we have that ability to simply break it down to that smallest increment of what am I learning about myself right this second? And is it something I'm really proud of? And the gosh, wow, James, you're doing really well here. Or is it something I can say, you know, James, you're struggling in this area. This is a wonderful opportunity that's teaching you to practice this particular reframe or your challenges belief system or to just change your perspective. And I think that's one thing that we all could do so much better at is just staying in the moment and just simply asking that question.
You know, one of the things that I did, James, and I still do it to this day, is I have certain mantras that I say to myself. I say them before I go to sleep at night. I say them when I wake up in the morning. Sometimes I'll sit down and write them out 25 times and say them aloud as I write them. And one of them is, everything is for me.
Yes.
Not just me alone, but everything is for me.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing against us. And if we hold on to that belief that God is against us, life is against us, our boss is against us, it doesn't matter who, what, where, if we hold on to that, we are going to struggle and bring a lot of suffering into our lives. And I did that for the first almost 30 years of my life. And so when I finally grasped and brought into my belief system and held very sacred that everything is for me.
Yes.
And that God is my source for everything.
God is.
Not my boss, not my money, not my fame, not my recognition, but God. It really dramatically shifted things in my life.
Yes. Yes, because your source is I perceive it, the creator of the universe, which is something so much greater than what your husband could give you, what your friends could give you, what your acting career could give you, because you were able to draw on something which was so divine and so I don't even have words.
So much greater.
So much greater.
Yes. And it works. If I could do this in my recovery, and I was recovering my health. Now, I did use an alternative for my physical body with a well-known doctor, Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez. He's an MD of immunology. He sadly died this last year. Suddenly of a heart attack. But he was an amazing, amazing doctor and person and knew what to do to help the physical body to deal with the cancer, but I was doing all the inside work at the same time.
Yes.
And I feel like that's what people miss out on. They think that it's only a physical disease, that illness is only about the physical, and it is not. We are body, mind, and spirit. We are not separate. So we have to be willing to heal in a holistic way on all those levels. And if we do, it's amazing what can be transformed, including chronic illness.
Yes, exactly. Well, Berta, I know my listeners will want to know the end part of your story as we're getting ready to wrap up. Do you want to jump to the end? I mean, you gave so many wonderful lessons for people to assimilate, you know, as far as the reframe and helping them live in the moment and helping them realize that the world is not against them. But I know they'll also want to hear the end result of how your health is right now.
Well, it's been 26 years, almost 26 years. It'll be 26 years in October that I've been healthy.
That's amazing.
26 years that I'm celebrating. I'm probably, my husband and I practice what I talk about, and we still practice the eating routines and everything. And he was a cancer survivor as well of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, given a year to live way before I met him. And that's how we came together, and it's why we do our radio show and why we coach and do healing sessions with people, et cetera, because we want to give back what we've learned. But, you know, I feel I'm healthier. I'm 66, and I feel I'm healthier than every year than I was the year before.
Oh, that is absolutely wonderful.
And so I can't say enough. And I'm not saying I don't have challenges, because we do. We all do. I just deal with them in a completely different way than I ever did before.
Yes.
And so those challenges become opportunities to transform and grow instead of challenges that weight you down and create suffering and pain and illness. That's the difference.
Thank you so much for your wisdom. I really appreciate you being a guest on my show today.
Oh, I really have had a great time, James. I love what you're doing. Please keep it up.
Thank you so much. Work. If my listeners would like to find out more information about you, where would they find your information online?
Well, two places. If they're interested in listening to our radio show, which we do, we're a live broadcast show. We are on a station here in Seattle, and we stream and podcast, and we're syndicated. They can go to ConsciousTalk.net. That is our website, and learn about us there. Love them to join us. Join us on our Facebook page. Like us and listen to the show if they feel inspired to. And then they can learn more about me and my book on my website, Intentional Shift, S-H-I-F as in Frank T, IntentionalShift.com. And there is a clip of the Today Show on there. I was a guest on there about a year ago.
Oh, wonderful. I haven't got a chance to watch it. I'll definitely watch that later today.
Oh, great. Yeah. And my book is available, The Gift of Cancer. It is available at bookstores and online on Amazon.com.
Excellent. Well, thank you once again so much, Brenda. I really appreciate you taking the time to be on my show today.
It's been a real pleasure, James. Thank you.
I'd also like to thank you, the listener, for joining with me today. Please subscribe to this podcast, either through iTunes or through whichever podcast portal you joined with me today. Also, please visit my website, jamesmillerlifeology.com. You may enroll in the Lifeology Academy I created. They're self-directed courses for successful people just like you. You may also see all the Lifeology YouTube episodes I've created. Currently, there are over 135 episodes for you to watch. And also on my website, you may find many other tools and techniques which will help you simplify and transform your spirit, mind, and body. Have an amazing week, and I'll talk to you very soon.